Well, hi, everybody. This is Mark, the Prepper Guy, and I'm back at you this week with another podcast. And I wanted to kind of take a little time to explain why I chose not to record a podcast last week and then get into some of the reasons for that and how we can relate that to our own lives, whether it's with our children and or ourselves. So we'll get right at that. Hold on a minute.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy, and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I'm a minimalist, and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
Okay, so the number one reason was I was feeling a little bit, depressed, because I have a son that made a commitment to pay on a house that he had bought from my brother. And that house is sitting on our property. And with that commitment, when he said, sure, I'll buy it, he chose to add on to the manufactured home, making it attached to the property, which makes it impossible for us to move or to rent out. So that was a problem. And then he just quit making the payments. So it's been about 8 months, and my wife now, his stepmother, feels that I should maybe get a little more involved in this complete letdown on his part to my brother. And my opinion is, well, he hasn't listened to me since he was 14 years old, so why is he going to start now? But maybe I should send him a letter, and because this whole texting thing is just a screaming waste of time. You get into these little tit-for-tat pissing matches. And so I thought, well, maybe if I write him a letter and explain some of the things in his last text to us, because we had texted him and said, hey, just want to know, why did you stop making the payments? Now, if he would have, responded with something that's like, dude, I'm sorry, but we're kind of financially strapped here, that might have made some sense and would have made the pill go down a little easier. But no, he chose to go into another tirade. And if making the payments sucks so bad for, me and my wife, then whatever smart-ass remark he stuck on the end of that. And it's like, I don't know, it kind of eats at me at a level, because he's my son and I thought he would have a little bit more respect for the commitment he made to my brother. And he looks at it as not being a commitment, maybe. Maybe he just thought it was a handshake agreement and to hell with it. But that's not the way it was. I mean, he was buying this. And it's a long story to make it short. It sits on a family trust. So he was always like, well, I'm not an owner and I'm not a renter. And it's like, dude, if I don't even own my own house, it belongs in a trust. And you're not a renter because you're buying it. And so every time we would talk to him about some of the things that would bother us, like, hey, keep your yard clean, have your kids pick up their toys, don't live like you live out in the middle of nowhere with junk cars laying around and just park your trailer in your front yard and be that way. I mean, there's other people that live here that don't want to look at that, and maybe you should try to step it up a bit and improve your game. And that became a point of contention with him, because then all of a sudden it was like, why are you butting into my business and this and that? So one thing led to another, and he got all mad over the years he lived here, and then just decided to move, out of the state, 3 or 4 or 5 states away, to get away from us. And he left with a lot of angst and resentment. And then he kind of turns that around and throws it in our face, like we were always butting in and trying to cause problems. Now, I don't see how giving him our vehicles to drive and letting him buy one of my vehicles and take over payments. And then when he still owed about $1,500, I was like, dude, don't even worry about paying that last little bit off. Just, you got a family. At the time, I think he had 2 kids by then. Now he's up to 4.6 or whatever, how far along she is pregnant. So I see it as like, well, we were always trying to help you. And yeah, your wife would ask for advice. And then when we would give it to her, she would get all butt hurt. And then she would tell you about it. You would overreact, trying to get into women's affairs like some kind of knight in shining armor. And then get all mad at me. And I'd tell him, dude, don't get into women issues because we as guys don't understand them. And it really is none of our business. You know, they're just talking. And if your wife took offense to that, then, oh, well, you know, she'll get over it. That's how women do shit. And so it just kind of deteriorated and then ended up a disaster. And then he moved. And then 7-8 months into it, he just quit making payments. So the only reason my brother had helped him so much is because he lived on the property. We were, you know, we're a family, and he was trying to help him out. And then he just quits making payments. He doesn't call him. He doesn't say, hey, dude, I'm broke. Can we, you know, do I have any options? No, he just says, oh, well, fuck it. I'm out of here. So because of that, I was, you know, felt obligated to, as almost a co-signer and as a moral obligation to my brother, that we started making the payments on it because there's still a mortgage on the house itself. And so my brother isn't capable of paying that with all his bills either. You know, we thought we had this figured out. Now, 7-8 years ago, when my son had taken over the property and the payments, my brother could have moved it off of our property, put it on another lot, and then rented it out. But once he added on to it, he pretty much nailed that commitment down to where it's not going to ever be moved again. We don't want renters on the property because we had about 18 at one time. And I don't want renters here. I don't want them driving through and running over my dogs or just being idiots and assholes like most renters usually are. You know, we live in a small town, so it's not like we could rent it to the Rockefellers or something. So you end up with not low income renters because the house is a mess or the property's a slum. It's just people don't have a lot of money here. And, you know, and if they're motivated, then they own their own home or they have family. And so I always found that the renters were not as respectful as we wanted on our property. So now we're stuck with it. So I put together a letter, and it just eats at me. And it's really hard to get into, even now, you know, trying to get into this episode is kind of hard because it still weighs on me. And I'm going to try to pull it around into prepping as much as I can, if that's at all possible, and try to relate how we as people, humans, make decisions. And a lot of times we don't really think about maybe even an action we take as a decision. But we've all heard the cliche is that you always have an option. You always make a decision. And it doesn't really matter if somebody says, let's go here for dinner. And you're like, oh, okay. And you don't think about it. And then you get there and then you end up getting food poisoning, let's say. And then all of a sudden it's like, dude, I can't believe you took me there. You know, I got food poisoning. And it's like, you chose to go there. You chose what you ordered. You choose to eat it. So, but we kind of glass over that and just go, oh, well, you know, I made a decision. Everything went okay, so whatever. But when it backfires and turns to shit, then all of a sudden we want to blame everyone but ourselves. If you're in debt, that's a decision you've made because now you're in debt. You allowed that to happen. Whether it was simple and you didn't think about it, you signed the mortgage, you signed the note, you bought the car or the truck, you bought this and that, you overextended yourself, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh crap, I didn't, you know, really think this one through. But every one of those commitments has added to your liabilities side of your accounting, and now you're extended over your head, kind of like my son did. And then all of a sudden you want a way to back out of it. And in life, there are no ways to back out of things. If it's financial, you can go bankrupt or something. But if you've made commitment after commitment after commitment to people and not thought about it, then you can't BK on that. You've got to be a man and have some integrity. You've got to be a woman and stand behind your word. Whatever it is, you've got to be the person that says, I'm gonna put my big boy, big girl panties on and face up to this. So if you join a team for prepping, and then that whole team is now counting on you, and then a year into it, you're like, dude, I'm really not into this plan. Weekend warrior all the time and doing all this training, and I don't think it's important. And then you go, I'm going to quit. Well, it's not life-threatening. It's not a big deal. They can maybe replace you, but Didn't you make a commitment to them that you were going to be part of their team, that the training, the time, the food, the energy that you put into it, and maybe they put into it, is now just a loss. It's gone. And they've got to start all over and replace you. It's just like in the military, especially in used to be in the Air Force, that they're not going to train you to be a pilot unless you have a college degree. They don't care if it's in basket weaving. They just want to see that you can stick to it and not just back out 2-3 years into it and go, I'm tired of this shit. Because they're not going to spend $15 million or whatever it costs to train a pilot and the fuel and all that. And the man hours to teach you and to all the classes and the lectures. I mean, basically, you're going to a very expensive trade school at the government's expense. And then you just go, oh, I'm going to quit. No, they don't want that. And so when you join a team or you decide to tell your neighbor that you're going to help them move and then you drop the ball and go, oh, dude, I forgot. I'm sorry. Well, that's kind of shitty because, you know, maybe he could have asked 4 or 5 more people, but you told him you'd do it. And that was his plan. And now he's sitting there waiting for you to show up. Maybe he'd ask if you'd bring your truck and trailer, and you're like, yeah, no problem, man. You're my bud. And then you just decide to go off and do whatever else it is that's way more important than that. Then you've kind of made 2 commitments, and it was based on 2 decisions because you thought about it when he talked to you, and you're like, yeah, I can do this. And then you promised him you would be there. So you're kind of violating yourself and that person, and it's not life or death. But the person's like, well, dude, I can't believe you didn't show up, man. I had everything packed. I was ready to go. I had to go rent a ride or truck, you know. And then most people would go, well, dude, you know, it's like you're the one that's moving. You know, I was going to help you out. It's like, yeah, but you didn't. And when I asked you, you said you would. You could have said no then and said, no, I really can't this weekend. How about next week or Wednesday or in the evenings? You know, or I'll bring my trailer over and then you can load it up and then I'll have a little bit of time, you know, on Sunday to get you moved and help you unpack and everything. No, all those decisions were yours, but you chose to just go, yeah, sure, man, we're buds, and then blow them off. Well, this is kind of what, you know, how I look at it with my son, you know, is like, yeah, everything was going peachy. And it was like, yeah, great, you know, and I'm working for mom and dad and their business and they're paying my cell phone and they're helping me out with cars and all this shit. And I got money everywhere. And then, you know, without even thinking about it, his girlfriend moved in and then all of a sudden she was pregnant. And then all of a sudden they're married. And now all of a sudden they have 4 kids. And I'm sure he's looking at it and going, you know, this was not my master plan. Well, no, I don't think he had a master plan. He was just going with the flow, kicking the can down the road. And then all of a sudden when that can rolled back down on him, he's like, I'm going to move. Screw you. You know, I don't like the fact that this or that or the other thing. And it's like, well, now you not only let yourself down as a man, but you let me down and you let my brother down because you didn't stop and think about your actions before you shook that hand. You know, you made that commitment. You said you were going to do something. Now, in the big picture of prepping, you know, we owe a lot of responsibility to our family, whether you're mother or father. It doesn't matter. You, long time ago when you decided to be with a person, then normally, I mean, you know, I look at it this way. You go out and you hang out with your friends to meet someone, and then you meet them and you go on a date and you're like, this is really cool. I like this person. Well, the next logical step is to get married because that's what you do. But a lot of people want to put that off and just keep hanging out together and dating and friends with benefits. And that's, you know, that's fine, whatever. But then eventually it moves into something serious and they're like, you know, we should live together. And it's like, okay, yeah, that'd be cool. Because you're thinking about the football game. And then all of a sudden she's living with you and she's pregnant. All of a sudden he's watching football games and not paying attention to you. But, you know, hey, maybe if we have a kid, that'll bring us together. So rather than thinking about the financial cost and all that, then it's just like, oh, let's have a kid. Let's have 4 kids. These were all decisions, whether you chose to flip a coin or to just roll with the punches and go, yep, yep, ma'am, yeah, we got married. Ah, it's cool. And some of your friends are like, dude, you guys don't even get along half the time. It's like, yeah, it'll be fine because you're not thinking about it. Well, now that you are at this point in your life, and this is what I told my son in the letter, now here you are, years later, married with children, and a lot of this stuff happened to you, not saying it's bad or good, because you weren't aware. You weren't in the moment. You weren't making decisions. You weren't thinking about it. And now all of them people are counting on you. And it's easy, just like my son, to go, oh, I'm not going to pay that anymore. Uh-huh. F you. La, 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 la. I'm, you know, over here, 4,000 miles away, you know, wherever the hell it is. It seems like 4,000 miles. And then, you know, him and her can sit there and go, well, you know, this was the right thing to do. Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't from day one. It wasn't when you agreed to pay the payments because you never thought about it. So how the hell do you even know if it's the right thing to do? So as preppers, you know, that's why I put together the series on, you know, getting into prepping and that you make choices. I mean, first you look at the world around you and you go, how could this affect me and my family? You know, whatever it is, the economy, the weather, whatever floats your boat, you know, is why you prep. And at first you have to think about it and go, what am I going to do if this happens? And that is called going, oh, I'm going to be a prepper. I'm going to prep for doomsday. And you have to look at all the things that could affect your life, whether it's a job loss, the economy, an EMP, if you're heavily invested in technologies that when the power goes out, your investments are gone. Then you have to look at it and go, I'm not going to pick one, but I see that there's enough on the horizon. There's a plethora of reasons why things could go south. I owe it to my family to at least have a plan. You know, you live in a three-story old wood house. Wouldn't you think that you would want to have a fire escape plan? Of course you would. Nobody even would think you were stupid for thinking about buying ladders that, you know, set in a cabinet. And then when you open the window, you just throw them out and you can get out of the house. You know, that's not crazy. Oh, you're one of them preppers. You're always worried about fire. You know, what if you never have a fire? Well, what if I do? You know, we have smoke detectors and CO2 detectors and all this shit in our home because hopefully they never go off in the middle of the night to where we have to get out of the house. And so you plan for that. You plan for meetings. So as you look at life, you look around and then you have to make a conscious commitment to go, yeah, I don't know what it'll be, but looking at the shitstorm on the horizon, no matter who you're voting for, it doesn't matter. I mean, some people think that if Trump wins, the world's going to blow up, which they thought about Reagan. If Bernie Sanders gets elected, then, oh my God, we're going to be like, you know, Germany or Russia back in the days of, you know, czars and the Gestapo and the SS. You know, we all have our reason. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. You look at it and you go, any one of these things could affect me and more importantly, my family. So I need to step up my game. So then you take a step up into that set of stairs we talked about, and you go, okay, I'm going to be a prepper. I'm not going to be crazy prepper. I'm not going to be a doomsday prepper. They're not going to film me on Discovery Channel because I'm the crazy guy with a bunker 6 miles underground and all that. I'm just going to be able to make sure I can take care of my family for 3-4 days, whatever happens. Well, that doesn't make you any crazier than buying escape ladders for your 3-story house. It makes you sane and a thinker. So that would be a commitment you make. You go, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to be more prepared. With that commitment, then you have obligations to figure out how you're going to prepare. My philosophy is you decide your diet. So you start going out on camping trips and all that. And we talked about that in another series, so I won't go into it. But, you know, you go out and you see what's required. You know, you test drive it basically and you go camping. That's your test drive. And then you see the needs of your family in that type of situation, which may be the worst case scenario, but at least you're ready for the worst case scenario. If it's not so bad that you can just take your family to a hotel for the week, great, man, it's vacation. But if it forces you out into the wild, going camping is a good test run to see what you or your kids might need in that type of situation. So then you look at diet because that is a very important thing. And you go, okay, here's the diet that we're going to follow. And instead of just going, oh, well, we go this diet because Dr. Oz says so, or we go this diet because, you know, Atkins said that. No, you should, to honor your commitment, the next step would be to figure out why you eat the way you eat, the importance of it, how valuable it is to eat that lifestyle. How does it make you feel? Does it make you healthy? Have you done enough research on that to know that you're not following medical folklore. And then you look at it and you go, that's the way I want it. That's the diet I want. How does that affect me as far as a prepper? Well, I mean, if you're a meat eater, then you have to have different kinds of preps than if you're a plant-based or a supermarket diet. It affects you in how much stuff you have to store. You're going to need backup generators to keep your freezers or your food safe and not, you know, because it's perishable, which means it will go away and perish. So, you know, that affects it. And that's another one of your commitments. See, you're honoring your commitments now. You're saying, well, the commitment I made myself was to be a prepper. The reason for that is for my family. And so therefore, now I need to figure this shit out. And then you do it. And you don't just go through, you know, happy-go-lucky, la-di-da-di-da-da-da. And then once you've picked your diet, then you can start moving up that prepping ladder to whatever you want to be. So you're not affected. I've been listening to a guy, Gary Vee. He's not a motivational speaker, but he's pretty damn motivational. He talks more about business and everything. But somebody asked him in one of the interviews, it's like, well, what do you think will happen if, you know, somebody gets elected? And they didn't say a name. They go, what about this guy or that guy or this gal? And then, you know, how do you feel about it? And he goes, I don't think that whoever's elected in any situation affects my life because I'm in control of my life. And so I will avert those problems if they come my way, but I don't make decisions based on who's president or what the weather's like, you know, when I get up in the morning. You know, I do what I do. That's my job. I do my shit. So he's very, very strong-willed with all this stuff. And he's really kind of, to me, he's very motivational because he talks the talk, which will bring me up now to one of my other points. So let's take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
Okay, so one of my points that I thought about listening to this guy and many others is he's like, you know, because there's a lot of people out there in the world of internet and social media to where they're supposed experts on how to gain a following and all that. And what really pisses him off is he's like, you know, I can get up on stage and talk with bravado because I've done it. I sold baseball cards and was making $1,000 a weekend when I was a kid. I took over my father's wine business and built it from $3 million a year to $60 million a year. I built a media empire. I did these things. And then I started telling people how to do it, which makes a lot of sense because nobody wants to hear it from a two-week wonder kind of guy. Now, you know, I've made it pretty clear, and I wanted to kind of express this point because I was listening to it last night, and I thought, how much shit do I say that maybe I'm not an expert in? And I go, you know, I don't know. But I kind of broke it down into the fact that I don't tell people how to make a fire. I don't tell people how to camp. I don't tell people how to purify water. See, because I don't do that a lot because I don't have time. But I know, just like I know in my profession that I've spent 40 years doing, that if you're going to be in floor covering, you need to know these skills and these art forms on how to get the job done. I'm not teaching people how to stretch in carpet. I'm not telling them how to mix their thin set because that's not who I am when it comes to prepping. I'm not going to tell you how to make a fire. I'm going to tell you, if you don't learn how to make a fire, you're probably going to die. And so I'm not coming across as an expert in all the techniques. I'm coming across as an expert of a person that is very cranial and always thinks about shit. And I can look at stuff like in my book, How to, you know, Will You Survive an EMP, which, by the way, is on Amazon. And you can get it for $2.99, or you can listen to it and get it for free on Kindle Unlimited. But I thought I'd plug that. So I can watch people and I can look at it. Now, even this guy, Gary Vee, he goes, I can reverse engineer what's happening in society really quick. He doesn't teach you how to reverse engineer shit. That's his technique. That's what he uses. Well, I look at people and psychology and mob rule and how people react. And a lot of it comes from you know, growing up as a kid, I had a stepfather that was very violent, especially when he drank. And the police, you know, kind of seemed to live at our house usually between the hours of 11 to 1 because that's when he would start going apeshit. And I learned to read him really fast. And as a drunk person that was jealous, I learned to dance around his emotions really fast to where he never got mad at me. In fact, one time he, you know, when the police were hauling him out, he looked at me and he goes, "Did you call the cops?" And I kind of grinned and said, "Yeah, sorry about that." And he rubbed my head and he goes, "That's all right. She's your mom." See, because I knew how people react to people. I didn't get in his face and all that. I did my job, which at, you know, 7 years old, all I could do was, you know, go call the police. And that usually required me running down to a payphone because, you know, he'd torn the one off the wall for the third time this week. Phone company made a fortune off of us. And so I can come to you and say, you know, if you're in a end of the world situation and it's an EMP or whatever it is, I can tell you pretty sure that if you meet people, you're going to run into certain groups. I can tell you what those groups will be thinking and the mob mentality and the mob rule of it. But I can't tell you how to shoot and defend yourself and knife fight because that's not how I am. But I can tell you that your best bet is going to be do this or do that. Stay away from these people. Don't go over to, don't trust these people. Don't even trust your neighbor. So that's how I look at it prepping. And I wanted to kind of clarify that because, you know, when I was listening to Gary, I thought, holy shit, I hope I'm not, you know, coming across as a person talking about shit that I don't know about. And maybe that's why, you know, putting together my podcast is a little harder sometimes because I'm trying to talk to you on a level that is not training, because I could put together 6 or 7 videos on how to start a fire, how to purify water, how to build a shelter. I've been in construction my whole life. I can build a shelter out of anything, but that's not what I do. I'm trying to tell people shit will hit the fan. We don't know what kind of crap it will be when it hits the fan. It might be dog crap. It might be dinosaur crap. It might be human crap. But something's going to hit the fan, whether it's the economy or it's a solar flare or it's just a societal collapse. We know that's going to happen. And so you, as a prepper, need to be prepared. The decisions you make can be based on all of the YouTube videos on how to start fire and all that, but that's not going to help you make your decision. Your decision will have to be based on your mindset and your psychology. You'll have to be able to look at the situation and the writing on the wall and go, time to leave, dear. This is bad. You know, whether you go to a hotel or you go to the national forest and start packing, hiking, and camping, whatever it is. And then you're going to need to stay away from people because they're going to be in the same position as you. And they might even have less training, a worse screwed up mindset, and they might be going batshit crazy. And you don't want to be around that any more than you want to be in a great nightclub where you're having a good time, where all of a sudden the energy levels turn, you know, get turned up so much and there's a fight getting ready to break out. And where you're sitting, you're going to be right in the middle of it. You're not going to play bodyguard and door bouncer. You're just going to kind of like pick up your drink and leave. Unless you really like fighting, then hey, stick around. But if you owe an obligation to your girlfriend or your date, then you would probably be smarter to look at it and go, I can see this is getting crazy. We need to leave. You know, there's another club down the street. They're not all crazy drunk fighters. And you leave. You make your decision based on that because you don't want to be around. Now, if your mindset is of the way that to where you love a good fight and you're right in the middle of it, then that's fine. You know, That's who you are. But you have to think about all this stuff. So we all make decisions and we make them in a nanosecond, whether we leave that bar or we try to help our neighbor in a grid down situation or we volunteer to do something for someone. We make those nanosecond decisions and then it's easy to forget about them because we made them so fast that way. It's like, oh, did I really say that? Oh, God. But you want to become the person that is slow to make a promise and quick to keep a promise, because that's your character. That's who you are. So I don't know who I'm talking to out there, you know, whether you're a millennial or a Generation X or this new generation, or you're part of the hippie movement or the greatest generation. I'm just saying we all need to be focused and make decisions and have character. And I don't care what generation you're from. That doesn't mean you can or cannot have character. And a lot of the younger kids would rather say, well, I don't want to. And that's fine. But you need to. And that's what irritates me so much about my son. So I'm not bashing any of my listeners here. It's just like I thought I had raised someone that would at least be smart enough. He's got a good work ethic. But I guess his other ethics aren't that good because he should have, you know, called my brother months before he got into that position and said, dude, I have some problems. Is there any way we can work this out? And he's got plenty of siblings he could have called to help him through this time. But see, the other decisions he had made, like to move because he was mad at us, not a lot of people in the family were on his side with this because he was all mad at us for helping him. You know, it's like trying to pull someone out of the pile of crap. And then he's like, dude, you tore my shirt. It's like, hey, you asked for help. You know, don't get pissed off. It's like, yeah, but man, this is my favorite shirt. You know, I can't believe you grabbed my shirt right there. You tore it. And no matter what you say to them, they're not listening to you. And they're just like, yeah, man, my wife's really going to be mad. She really likes this shirt, man. God, why did you do that? And you're like, eventually you just like go, whatever, you know, sorry, I helped you out of your pile of shit you were crawling around in. But obviously all you care about is your shirt. You know, instead of me grabbing your belt buckle, I tried to grab your shirt. You know, it's easy to laugh at people all the time, you know, when they try to help you. And then you don't realize, you know, I kind of wrote that in my letter to my son. It's like people laugh at those that fall down and make mistakes, but they never look around and go, oh, the reason that person fell down was because he was behind me helping push me up the hill. You know, it's easy to get mad at the person that tries to help you and then your shirt gets torn and you're like, dude, that's my favorite shirt. It's like, oh, F off, you know. Next time I'll leave you groveling there, you know. And then they would bitch at you. It's like, man, you didn't even try to help me. And that's what I got in his text back to me. It's like, you didn't even offer me one option. It's like, first of all, I wasn't the mortgage holder here. My brother was doing that for you as a courtesy. You know, I can't help you with options. Wait, my option was to make the payment. And now he's mad at us for doing that, like we were trying to screw him. It's like, you walked away. Now all of a sudden you're mad because I'm going to demo the place and turn it into something I want it to be. You know, you made your decision to buy it, to not fix it up, to not keep it clean, and to get mad, and then to move away. And now all of a sudden, when I act on all of those decisions he made poorly, I'm the bad guy. So this is why I kind of couldn't talk last weekend, because I was right in the middle of the emotional shitstorm of trying to get my head around this. And I don't know if this will help you guys in any way, because it's just me venting in a way. And I'm trying to put it together in a way to where I can kind of help pull my head out of this rut that I'm in and just say, you know, as not just as preppers, as human beings, everything we do is based on a decision or a why in the road, a paradigm shift. No matter what it is, no matter how small it is, you might not even think about it, but that decision might affect you. And then all of a sudden, people, not you guys, of course, people want to walk away from that decision and go, it's not into it, man. It's like, you said you were going to help me move. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention. It's like, well, then screw you. And you know what? Those people that let you down, if you look at their life, you will probably see it's a mess because they didn't decide to choose how big their family would be. They didn't think about the kind of job they were going to take. They didn't think about the debt they got themselves into. And now all of a sudden, everything is in chaos. And they're like, why me? I try hard. It's like, dude, you ran and jumped into it. And it's like, well, yeah, but I didn't think that would happen. It's like, yeah, that's the whole point. You didn't think, you know, it's like with abortion, people are like, oh, it's my right to make that decision. It's like, you made that decision when you had that last drink and you decided to have sex. That was the decision. See, that was when it was made at that moment. not now all of a sudden that you're pregnant and now you want to make a decision to give up the baby as adoption or have it aborted or sell it on the market and, you know, for body parts, whatever the fuck it is you want to do. See, that's no longer your decision because your decision was made 9 months ago, 8 months ago. Your decision was to go out with that person. Your decision was to sleep with that person. You actually made a decision that you wanted to have a child with that person, and you didn't even think about it. You made the decision to go broke way before you end up actually going broke because you chose not to think about the consequences of this bill or that bill or this debt or that job. And all of a sudden, you're just, you know, flopping around and you go, what the hell? How did I get up shit creek without a paddle? It's like, dude, you built a boat. Yeah, but I should have built a paddle. Yes, you should have. Well, I've been kind of going on and on and on. There was some other stuff I kind of wanted to talk about. And, you know, forgive me, guys. I mean, I really appreciate all of you that listen to this sometimes because I know I'm all over the map most of the time. And I try to keep a thread kind of going in my mind. And this one's been really hard because the shit. But I appreciate it. And I don't know, maybe you're as sadistical as I am and you listen to this. But I appreciate it. And hopefully out of this 30, 40 minute podcast, even though it might not apply to you in your life because you're a thinker and you're a doer and you make proper decisions, it might help you look at it and go, well, that, yeah, I never thought about it that way. And that explains my friend dumbass over there and to where maybe I can help him. Maybe I can't help him. Maybe I can walk away now and be apathetic about it. And it's like, I care, but I'm not going to be sympathetic and get involved. You know, I don't know. So I think it's cool. My listenership isn't awesome. Like, you know, if I was some famous person. But I try to tell you things in my life that I've learned over my years of being aware from a child where everything kind of flipped on. And I was like, oh, look, I have memories to now. And so I try to bring that to the table. I think people in America have forgot how to make decisions. We've forgot how to use critical thinking in our lives. And you can see that in so many things with no matter what the protest is, what the rant is, what the shitstorm on social media it is, you know, it's people whining about life and not looking at it and going, well, wait a minute. Yeah, it's easy to say the police are, you know, not doing their job. It's easy to blame it on the politicians. Let's pick on the president. Well, who elected him? Oh, that would be us. Yep, that was us twice with Obama, twice with Bush, twice with Clinton. I think Father Bush only did once because he really pissed people off. Reagan, you know, we put them in there and then we reelect them. Now, they're just presidents and no one gives a shit about the president of the United States. He's as important as the tree growing in my yard. It's just there and it has a certain purpose and that's about it. But we elect our politicians. We elect our senators, we elect our congressmen, which are our representatives, which don't represent us because it's easier to just elect a guy that's got a pearly white grin and nice head of hair. And he said a lot of shit that sounded really good, but we bought it. That was another decision we made to choose to believe this lying shark. And so our you know, somebody on Facebook posted that, you know, something about politicians. And it's all the baby boomers' fault. And it's like, wait a damn minute. You know, first of all, I'm probably a baby boomer. I'm not sure where that lies. But, you know, it's like, you know, let's look at all the generations. Like, well, I mean, shit, you can go back to after the ink was drying on the Constitution. You know, the politicians started telling people shit. I think it was Hamilton that, you know, was like, we need to get the country in debt because we can control the people that way. And that was like he was one of the founders, but he had a different idea on debt and money and freedom and liberty. So then it got all screwed up. And then the greatest generation came back from the war just happy to be alive. And they let FDR do all this stupid shit. And then they, you know, and then people would go, it's the greedy capitalist bastard's fault. And they chose to believe that. We choose to believe the shit Obama says. The next generation will choose to believe what their congressman says instead of just fucking Googling it and going, that dude is lying. Because you know what? If I was trying to sell you a Hugo and I told you it was a BMW and you're stupid enough to believe it, that is on you. Yeah, am I a crook for doing it? Sure I am. Who made the stupid decision to buy it? You did. I made a lot of stupid decisions to get to that point, to become a liar and a shark and a snake, just like our politicians do. But you still make that choice at the ballot box to believe these lying pricks. You make the choice to believe these doctors that are just not reading the science, they're reading men's health. And they're listening to the big pharma companies reps that come in and say, take this pill, they'll feel better. Oh, okay. But you still make the choice to pop that pill in your mouth. So this mess is all because people stop learning how to make decisions based on critical thinking and how it affects their lives. So the next politician that says, vote for me. I got a great set of teeth. I still have my hair. I'm looking pretty good. Oh, by the way, I did all this shit for the people on the left, so they like me. And I also did all this shit for the people on the right, but I'm never talking to them at the same time. So you'll vote for me because I'm really strong on the Second Amendment. Oh, vote for me. I hate guns. We should outlaw them. See, they can do that. And we as people, probably because we're busy, don't look at it and go, what a lying, two-faced piece of shit. Now, we just go, man, that smile of his got me. You know, that's why, you look at Trump. Everyone hates Trump. Shit, they don't like his hair. They don't like anything about him. Well, but I look at the words coming out of his mouth and I go, he's at least saying things that at this moment in time, I kind of agree with. So, they're all a bunch of lying shits. Let's just assume everyone that runs for president is the Satan of the world and wants to rape your children and steal all your money. Well, then it really doesn't matter who you vote for. I just happen to like this guy's, what he's saying, better than the other guy. But I don't think it's that bad. I don't think they're all Satan. I disagree with Bernie Sanders, that's all. Just because he believes in socialist economic policies. I don't. I guess I can say I don't believe in that. Because I have an education and I've looked at socialism and it failed. And Bernie Sanders just years ago was saying how great Hugo Chavez was with the socialist policies he's put in place. Well, now you look at Venezuela. They are a massive failure. People are paying $100 for a pound of bacon and you can't even buy it if you had $100 in the first place. So I'm looking at the policies and going, Bernie, you're a nice guy and I bet you're really funny. And I don't hate you for your messed up hair because mine looks like that most of the time. It's just the things you're offering me. I came in here to buy a car and you're offering me a Hugo. And dude, you can talk it up all you want, but I'm just not in the market for that. And most people can't handle that. They're like, oh, you hate him because of this. No, has nothing to do with it. It's just I'm trying to buy a car right now. And what he's selling, I'm not in the market for, so I'll go to the next guy. And then, you look at what they're selling, you go, ah. And it's kind of like the story of the three bears. It's when I find the one that's just right, that's what I'm going to take. So you have to look at it and go, well, Bernie Sanders is a nice guy. Do I really want America to become socialist? I mean, free shit's always cool, but it's always easier to sell free shit than it is to sell responsibility and liberty. Because if you're free, you're free to screw up. My son was free to move and screw me over. I was free to let him do that, but it still hurts. And I still have to pick up the pieces. It would be great if somebody like my rich Uncle Sam would just pay off that debt my son owes, and then it's done. But that doesn't work that way, does it? So if we become socialists, it's not going to work. Just read some shit. So I got a friend that still bugs me about Donald Trump. It's like, fine, dude, yeah, vote for whoever you want. I so don't give flying shit. This is what I'm going to vote for. It's just like buying this microphone for my podcast. A lot of people go, oh, you shouldn't have bought that. Oh, well, whatever. Oh, you shouldn't have bought the Tascam DR40. Oh, well, I guess I could have bought a different one. I could have bought the Roland. $200 more. I could have. I don't like your headphones. Who cares? See, because those are decisions I made. Just like you make a decision whether you drive a Ford or a Chevy. So, or a Dodge, or a BMW, whatever. I didn't want to leave anyone out. Don't forget the Hugo. So, I think people want to ride the tide of whatever and whichever way it's going. But as human beings that are aware, we can't do that. We have to be involved in our reality that exists right now. And that reality is that our political system is in shambles. Electing a president is not going to change that. There's very few things that will change it. And so most likely we can't fix it because gravity has gotten too heavy and it's going to collapse. You know, like every empire collapses. So will America. I don't think we can save it. Maybe someone out there is way smarter than me and will actually save it. Cool. I could be happier than that way. I'd be like, oh, awesome. You saved it. But maybe not. This is why I'm a prepper, because I believe in the maybe not. I hope for the maybe so, but I also believe in the maybe not. And I just think maybe no one's going to fix it. So when that shit happens, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have made good decisions. I'm going to make good commitments. And when that time comes to save my family and those I love, I'll be able to do it. Hopefully, they'll be able to know how to find me because they've been paying attention to me telling them, when the shit hits the fan, I'm going to be over yonder. Don't come here, because for about 2 months, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be over there. If they didn't listen, that was their choice. They should have listened to their dear old dad. Well, that's about as far as I can go on this subject. I want to thank you again for listening. I'm just depressed on a visceral level, and it bothers me. And I wouldn't be human if it didn't. And so, if any of you have any advice, shoot it to me. I'd appreciate the shit out of it. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you later.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.